It seems to me that Father's Day used to be simpler and more straightforward. A necktie, a card with a fish on it, Dad's favorite dish for dinner. Our uneasiness with patriarchy and deconstruction of gender have complicated matters. But maybe Mother's Day and Father's Day have always had their problems. The cynics among us snarl that they are a Hallmark plot. And we certainly all don't have a Walton's-type memory of our mother and dad. Maybe that show was so popular for so long because it was the Hallmark family we wished we'd had. Presbyterian minister John Chuck said in a Father's Day sermon, "The big challenge for both Mother's Day and Father's Day is that there is no such thing as a generic mother or father. We all have complex, multifaceted, and unfinished business with real human beings. It may be easier to skip church on this day than to deal with the emotional fallout that all the mother and father imagery uncovers in our lives. As a minister, I know that this is the case because many have told me exactly that over the years. On the other hand, it could be that these sentimental and commercial popular holidays exist because we have a need to explore and to honor and to struggle with the most important relationships in life. Worship is an opportunity to acknowledge these relationships, including their brokenness, and who knows, maybe even take a step toward healing." I think Reverend Shook is right on. The hardest tasks we do in our life is maintaining and tending to our intimate relationships, to our closest relationships, being partners and lovers, being parents, being filial to our parents. When Lois suggested that we tap into the earth-honoring traditions and think in terms of the sacred masculine for this day, I realized that we could draw on the concept of archetypes. Archetypes are a predisposition to organize our experience in certain ways. They are templates for certain experiences. Carl Jung thought that these predispositions were built in through the millennia of shared human experience. Maybe, maybe not. However, there are experiential themes that run across cultures and through time. The concept of archetypes helps us understand the power of art to speak to us across culture. We recognize the fecundity and motherliness of a Venus statue made thousands of years ago. The painting of Joan of Arc on her horse evokes the heroic. The father archetype finds expression in portrayals of strong leaders who are protectors and set examples. Moses is an example. So is Mufasa in The Lion King, who is a perfect example of a king and teaches Simba his ways. Or Gregory Peck in To Kill a Mockingbird. One powerful expression of the sacred masculine is Father Sky, or Father Sun. In Peruvian traditions, Intuteta, the great sun, establishes the overall pattern of the year. The Incas considered themselves to be children of the sun. Christians say, "Our Father, who art in heaven." This father archetype is often seen as powerful and controlling, the creator and procreator. Recently, I listened to a father talk about his conflicted relationship with his teenage son who is rebelling and acting out. This father said, "There is only room for one man in this household." It made me sad to hear that. The parental archetype here is the stern, controlling, powerful father, a rule maker, one who teaches right from wrong, the just wait until your dad gets home type of father. My dad was that type of dad. While we are grateful for guidance and protection, to grow up, we must break out. I know this father-son relationship is going to require some of the healing that Shuck speaks of. Still, this is a committed father doing the best he knows how, deeply invested in his father, in his fathering, and in his family. On this Father's Day, we praise and honor these fathers, hoping that they and their children find the paths to healing the inevitable fractures in their relationships. In his exploration of the sacred masculine, theologian Michael Fox introduces a second parental archetype, the fatherly heart. This metaphor captures the experience of a caring, instructing, protecting father whose goal is that his children become competent, independent adults. Fox lists the following qualities of the fatherly heart. The fatherly heart is caring, giving and generous, listening and receptive, encouraging, sees the big picture and is magnanimous, which means very generous and forgiving, and according to Fox, comes from the Latin meaning big soul. I have to use that word more often. The fatherly heart is playful and affectionate, protective, instructing. The metaphor of the fatherly heart struck me immediately as what we are celebrating on Father's Day. I knew intuitively what Fox was talking about. Good metaphors work when they click with experiential truth. It is easy to find examples of the fatherly heart. The father in our special music that Greg sung. And what about Phil Mickelson, who chose his daughter Amanda's high school graduation over the U.S. Open? And then there is the parable of the prodigal son, found in the book of Luke in the New Testament of the Christian Bible. A wealthy man had two sons. The younger one decided that he would do better off on his own, making a success of himself out in the world. And he demanded his half of the inheritance. So the father gave the younger son his share, and off the fellow went. Well, the kid blew his resources in reckless living and ended up feeding pigs. Abashed, he decided to go home and throw himself on his father's mercy. When his dad saw him coming, the dad rushed out, running to his son, and commanded the servants to get out the best robe and to butcher the fatted calf. The older son, who was off in a field working, saw what was going on and was furious. Here he'd stayed around and been helpful and loyal, and this schmuck of a younger brother who'd messed up was being treated like royalty. The eldest son complained bitterly to his father. Now listen what the father says to him. Child, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. We just had to make merry and be happy, for this, your brother, was dead, and he has come to life. He was lost, and he has been found. This is the fatherly heart. In the here and now, Pope Francis comes to mind. I think it is the many indications of the fatherly heart that have so many of us cheering for Pope Francis, whether or not we have our roots in the Roman Catholic tradition. Just before Lent, Pope Francis was asked whether it was okay to give money to beggars on the street. Here's the Catholic News Service report on his answer. People who don't give money to the homeless because they think it will be spent on alcohol and not food should ask themselves what guilty pleasures they are secretly spending money on. There are many excuses to justify why one doesn't lend a hand when asked by a person begging on the street. But giving to someone in need is always right, and it should be done with respect and compassion, because tossing money and not looking in their eyes is not a Christian way of behaving, he said. Now, this response stirred a spirited debate on whether giving money to folks on street corners was the best allocation of one's charitable dollar. I think this debate misses the point that Francis was trying to make. He is saying, who are we to judge, as he did when asked about gay priests? He is cautioning us against self-righteousness and praising generosity of spirit. I think this response was magnanimous. A month ago, the Religious Education Ministry held a bridging ceremony for two graduating high school students. In brief videos, their mentors for bridging spoke of their experiences. If you heard what Bill Listis and Bud Hudson had to say about their experiences, you know you were listening to the fatherly heart. I asked several fathers to finish a sentence for me. I feel most fatherly when. Here are several of their answers. Listen closely, for you will hear the fatherly heart. I feel most fatherly when I share with my boy the things my father taught me. Tying a tie, planting plants, butchering, asking someone on a date, behaving at a formal dinner, being brave by doing something even when you're scared. I feel most fatherly when I let my girls build their own self-confidence by letting them succeed on their own. When they achieve their own self-confidence, my job feels completed. I feel proud of their successes. Another time is when they step up and do the right thing, usually something that I would not have had the courage to do. I feel most fatherly when I give my kids a kiss and a hug goodnight to let them know that whatever happened that day, they are always loved and protected. In her Mother's Day sermons, Reverend Amy is always careful to acknowledge that some of us are not mothered very well, that some of us don't have mothers, and that some of us mother without having our own biological children. The same is true of fathering. Some fathering overflows with the fatherly heart. Some fathering is shadowed with control and anger. Some fathering is conspicuous in its absence. Some children need to find the fatherly heart in teachers and scout leaders and ministers and uncles and grandfathers and big brothers and neighbors. But I do believe and I do hope that we have all been blessed by the embrace of a fatherly heart. So this Father's Day, let us celebrate all fathers. Let us celebrate and praise the fatherly heart. Blessed be.